ShadowcastAudio.com presents The Masters of Horror, the anthology. Welcome to a world hidden behind the blinds of reality, a landscape waiting to be molded into a thing of pain and torture. This anthology is not for the faint-hearted. The ideas, themes, and disturbing images portrayed within will send your brain into overdrive on the road to madness. This book is guaranteed to rob you of sleep at night and bring you the nightmares you've most feared. You've been warned. Bob L. Morgan lives in the Pacific Northwest with his wife Judy, black lab pit bull Willard, and cantankerous kitty Dexter. He is the author of the John Dark books, Blood and Rain, Blood for the Masses, Blood on Celluloid, and Blood and Bones. He's also the author of the crime novel You Play, You Pay, the zombie western Night Knuckles, and the horror science fiction novel Gray World. He is actively seeking to have his novels adapted to movies or video games. You can contact him at johndark1985@yahoo.com.
The Ladies of the Scale by B. L. Morgan. Mediterranean Sea, west of Crete. I was bleeding pretty bad, blood bubbling out of me like a hot water spring. The rain pours down on my head, stinging like cold buckshot. Thunder rumbles above. Lightning flashes like strobe lights dancing on the choppy Mediterranean waves. I keep the outboard motor on this small fishing boat headed due west, and the burning in my side is a constant reminder of my last job before retirement. Usually I get in and get out fast, pop 'em and leave, all nice and quiet. This time it wasn't so clean. Who'd have thought that fucking broad loved the old man and knew how to aim a gun? Don Rico D'Angelo was head of the Seattle Crime Syndicate. On Crete, he was getting married to a woman 30 years his junior. He was in love, getting hitched, getting sloppy. I waited for my chance, played the tourist bit. I was just one more American checking out Greek ruins and Mediterranean pussy. They had some good local talent here, too. These Crete chicks knew just the right moves to do and the right things to say to make you feel like a Greek god. Yeah, God is good, especially when he's working between some sweet, young, olive-skinned thighs. I planted a bug in the Don's room. Anything larger, like a bomb, would have been spotted. After 4 days of listening to the sounds of the Don fucking his young bride Angelina, my tape recorder finally gave me something I could use. The Don gave his boys the night off. They could go get laid themselves. You could tell all three of the guys, ex-prize fighter types, would love to have been putting it to the new Mrs. D'Angelo. But they were professionals. They didn't dare even let one look betray what was on their minds. Besides, any guy comes on to Don Rico's woman and he finds out about it, he'd have tortured you to death. That's not my favorite way to go. After dark, I climbed up on the balcony to the Don's room. I let him have one last go-around with Angelina. What the hell. Let him get one last good nut before he goes. The old fucker must have known what was coming. He plowed that girl's field for a good 2 hours before he finally gave up. Watching his wrinkled old ass going up and down on that sweet young broad was not the most exciting thing I'd ever seen. The Don must be practicing for his next incarnation as a porno star, I thought, when the new missus went to take a shower. I came in through the sliding glass door with my silencer-fitted pistol out in front of me. Don Rico started to make a grab toward a drawer in the nightstand. I pointed my pistol at his head and smiled. The Don froze, then he smiled. It was one of those smiles to let you know he wouldn't be holding a grudge. He'd been expecting this for years. That didn't mean if he got out of this room breathing, he wouldn't have had me slowly flayed alive and then salt rubbed over where the skin had been removed. Nah, he wouldn't hold a grudge. Business is business. He knew it, and I knew it.
Tell me, he said in his raspy way of talking, who put the finger on me? I got the right to know.
It was unprofessional and I knew it. Saying the name of the man who hired you was strictly taboo. But what the fuck, I thought, the old man's dead anyway. What's he going to do, come back from the dead to ruin my reputation? Besides, I'm retiring. What do I give a fuck for a reputation for anyway? Why not do one unprofessional act in my life? Perfection can get boring, even for hired killers. Tony, I told Don Rico. I didn't have to say a last name. Tony was his youngest son. He laughed.
I figured it would be Johnny, he said, shaking his head, naming his oldest boy. Shows you what the old man knows. I thought Tony was a faggot bastard who didn't have the balls for any of this.
He was still laughing when the bathroom door opened and his wife called out,
Honey, could you phone the phone room service to bring up some pizza and a bottle of wine?
Don't come in here, Don Rico yelled, and when my eyes shifted to Angela's semi-nude form in the bathroom doorway, he dove for the nightstand drawer. In the middle of his lunge, I put a bullet through the back of his head. The blood spurted red all over the nightstand and white carpet. He tumbled sideways out of the bed, knocking the nightstand over and spilling the drawer's contents. Angelina's scream cut through the air. It was an ice pick in my brain. Those luxurious rooms were famous for being soundproof. All the wise guys liked to bring their broads here to bang their brains out. I was grateful for the soundproofing. Angelina ran out of the bathroom, her silk bathrobe untied at the waist, flowing all around her. That robe didn't hide a thing. She was a black-haired beauty, and I liked everything that I saw. She reminded me of a young Sophia Loren, except maybe Sophia never looked that good. She dropped down beside her newly deceased husband.
No, she howled.
She cradled his head in her arms. Blood and brains leaked onto her. I was backing toward the glass door when she looked up into my eyes. Tears ran down her cheeks, streaking her makeup into smeared black lines. If those tears weren't real, then this girl should be in Hollywood. She screamed at me,
Why? What did he ever do to you?
She had one of those throaty Italian accents that always made my balls want to do a dance. I knew it was unprofessional to answer her, but couldn't seem to stop myself. I didn't know what the fuck was wrong with me. It seemed like I wanted to stand around and talk with everybody. The look on Angelina's face demanded an answer, so I gave her one, even though I knew better. It was just business, girl, I told her. Just business.
Just business?
Angelina screeched back at me. Her pain was being replaced by rage. She glanced at the gun that had tumbled out of the nightstand drawer. It was a chrome-plated .45.
Don't do it, I yelled at her. I did what I was paid to do. You don't have to be a part of this. Do the smart thing. Get your piece of the old man's money and live a long life. Don't go for that fucking gun.
The look that came over Angelina's face was almost like a light had been switched on over her head.
Everybody thinks I was with Rico for his money, she shouted at me.
The veins stood out on the sides of her neck.
I loved him. I was a whore, and Rico took me off the streets, and he put me through college. He never once touched me. He told me he only wanted to do one decent thing before he died. I asked him to marry me, not the other way around. I owed him my life.
Yeah, I thought. The old man was doing a decent thing to you about 10 minutes ago. Shit. He did himself proud. Angelina grabbed the .45. My first shot was meant to scare her. I splintered the wood in the nightstand beside where the gun lay. She snatched the pistol up and popped off a wild shot. The bullet hit me in the left side, a beasting, red-hot poker of pain. My next shot, I put that one between her eyes. A ragged, juicy hole was punched into the center of that gorgeous face. She crumbled to the side. Through a chance of fate, the way she fell left her arms around the Don's neck. Their heads were together. It looked like they were getting ready to kiss. I left fast the way I came in. Their gun hadn't been silenced, and even the best soundproof rooms would carry the blast of a gunshot to the next room in the hallway outside. My small fishing boat with an outboard motor was where I left it at the dock. Problem was, Danny DeMarco wasn't where he was supposed to be, just outside the city lights on the water with our rented cabin cruiser. I promised myself that when I found him, I'd kill that stupid fuck, too. I knew there were a couple of islands to the west. I started in that direction because there wasn't any way I could even consider staying where I was, and I was hoping like hell that I had enough gas to make it to one of those islands before dawn. It started raining about an hour earlier, and I was bleeding like a stuck pig. But there was one thing I could do, keep that motherfucker pointed west and hope that I didn't bleed to death before I hit land. I stared into the rainy dark. Lightning crackled in the sky, and Angelina's face kept popping up in front of me on the blank slate of the night. Why hadn't that stupid bitch just let it go? Hell, a few weeks of playing the grieving widow, and she's on Easy Street the rest of her life. I remembered the look on her face before my bullet destroyed it, the crushed look when she'd seen the exit wound my .38 made in Don Rico's forehead. Then I remembered the way she'd looked up into his eyes when he'd been riding her. Was I imagining it, or had she looked at him with almost a type of worship on her face? It was the type of look a puppy gives to a kid after they've played hard. It had nothing to do with sex, and everything to do with closeness. I must be losing my mind, I thought, because I'd never had any woman look at me like that, and I sure as fuck ain't ever had a dog. My side was blazing hot and wet. I didn't know whether all of the wetness was blood or rain. It didn't matter. If I didn't get to land pretty soon, they'd find me out here in a few weeks, floating dead on the currents. Spots danced before my eyes, little streamers of light, phantom lights. I knew except for the lightning above in the clouds, it was pitch black out on those waters. Little glowing fireflies buzzed around my head, sparklers in the dark. Endless ocean waves. Endless water. I was supposed to make around 70,000 for popping the Don. That is, if I could make it to anywhere where I could make the phone call to get the money wired to me. It was one of my highest paychecks. That would bring my bank account to somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.25 million. It was a good time to walk away. Angelina's face loomed in front of me the way she looked with Don Rico inside of her. What am I walking off to, anyway? It'd be nice to have someone like Angelina waiting for me. Someone who liked to suck my dick every now and then and fucks like the Energizer Bunny. Yeah, that would be nice. And maybe someone who just gives a shit if I live or die. I popped so many damn people that I'm not even sure if I give a shit if I live or die. I'm just one more name on my own damn list. We're all just fertilizer in the end anyway. Who's waiting for me? No one. Would any woman look at me the way Angelina looked at Don Rico? Not fucking likely. I was tired. I wanted to sleep. I felt disoriented. I felt weak. Fireflies buzzed around my head. Lightning crackled. Phantom lights danced around me. Light music drifted on the ocean. Soft, singing, sweet light, soothing, chanting of my loneliness coming to an end. The motor sputters, coughs, quits. It doesn't matter. I drift on the currents. Chanting, smooth, high-pitched, sad. Women with beautiful voices sung to me. A wall was in front of the boat. Stone cliffs. Sheer, straight rock rose up out of the water, up to the black, boiling sky. I went to reach for the handle to steer the outboard motor so I didn't run into the wall, but it didn't make a difference. The motor was dead, out of gas. Then I was past the stone, inside a cave. Stone walls were all around me. At least the rain wasn't pounding me anymore. My side didn't feel so hot. Subtle, pleasant fragrances surrounded me. A sense of peace overcame everything that I felt. Everything seemed okay. I floated on, the mournful sounds touched me. They called to me, strange, beautiful, and hypnotic. The boat slid up to a sandy shore inside the cave. I noticed that I was in a huge chamber. Rock walls were dimly lit by torches. The light from the torches were soft on my eyes, flickering, soothing. I climbed out of the boat and waded up to the dry, white sand. I felt sluggish, like moving in slow motion, but it was not unpleasant. A welcoming, warm breeze enfolded me in a soft embrace. A small campfire was burning. In front of the fire was a large, crystal-clear bottle filled with a translucent liquid in a golden tray with three deep red apples. Noticing my hunger and thirst for the first time, I dropped down on my knees and devoured the apples and drank the clear liquid that turned out to be fresh water. The water and apples tasted delicious. The apples were sweet. The water tasted clean, unspoiled, unpolluted. I felt nourished. With one final bite of the last apple, the fire in front of me died to glowing embers. Past the fire, I saw a pinkish glow. Between two torches, there was an upright rectangle of soft pink light. A doorway. The music was coming from there. The soft chanting called to me, promising to take away my pain and be with me always, promising to take me home. I went to the doorway. I was bathed in soft pink light as I stepped through the opening. The chamber in front of me was magnificence itself. The ceiling was made of glowing crystals. They gave off a bluish light. Perfect, pure white sand covered the floor right down to the source of the pink light. A long, warm pool awaited me inside the room. The water in this pool was a rosy pink. A light shined up from somewhere out of its depths, casting the pink glow upon the rest of the chamber. Wisps of steam glided over the surface of the water. Its heat invited me in. I was bathed in a warm, fine mist. The scent of jasmine and honeysuckle were in the air all around me, strong. The chanting sounded so smooth, so calm. It felt like the sound was coming from inside me, not from without, calling me into the pool. Come to us. We await you. Come to us. Come to us. We are everything you ever dreamed. A compulsion that can't be denied pulled me into the water. I stripped my clothes off and entered the water. With my first step into the warm water, the music stopped. I moved forward into the moist silence. Wading out into the warm water up to my neck, it felt thick like honey nectar. The sweet smell was all around me, washing my senses with a calm serenity. My every pore, my giant being, was intoxicated by the wonderful aromas and the voluptuous touch of ambrosia. The sense of well-being was overpowering. I felt as though I could close my eyes and drift away into a pleasant dream. Here is where I wish to be. Here is where I belong. Beneath the waters, I felt movement, ripples in the liquid. I saw several pinkish shapes swimming. They did not frighten me. They belonged here, as I do. They glide around me. Three shapes broke the surface, three female faces. One with jet black hair, one with red hair, and the other with brown hair, the exact shade as my own. The one with black hair was Angelina. I did not ask her what she was doing there. Everything was right. Everything was as it should be. The one with red hair was Susan. She was a girl who told me she loved me back when I was a teenager. I left her without even saying goodbye. A girlfriend for a hitman just starting out is only a weight around his neck. She's the only woman who told me she loved me, and I believed her. The one with hair the same color as my own is a mother who abandoned me on an orphanage steps when I was a baby. How I knew she was my mother, I don't know. But I was certain who she was. They came to me and touched me, running their hands all over my body, stroking up and down my flesh. "I'm sorry I killed Don Rico," I told Angelina. She merely smiled, and I heard a voice inside my head. "It doesn't matter. You're with us now." "I'm sorry I left you," I told Susan. "It doesn't matter," was her reply, also in my head. "I have missed you," I told my mother. "And I have missed you also, my son," she answered. They slid up and down my body, kissing me as they did. I saw small bite marks appear wherever their lips met my flesh. The little bites gave off a brownish liquid. The bites all felt good, like tiny electrical shocks. I went to move my hands to guide their heads to where I wished them to kiss, and I found that a paralysis had a hold of me. I saw that while their faces were women, from the waist down, their bodies were not. They were enormous snakes. They moved with the grace only sea snakes can have. More ripples moved beneath the surface, joining the others in the pool. More heads broke the surface. Faces from my past, the faces of the wives, mothers, and daughters of men who I killed. They came to take their bite of my life, just like I took a bite out of each of theirs. "I'm so sorry," I said to each and every one of them, and realized my lips would no longer move. Somehow, I knew they heard the words that formed in my brain. They did not reply, but each one took a small bite of me. "All is as it should be. The scales will be balanced." After they each tasted the fruit of my flesh, I was dragged beneath the water and taken down into the deep. I do not breathe now, so I do not drown. I was pulled through an opening in the floor of the pool and taken down a long tunnel and into another chamber where the water glows a dark blue. Along the bottom of this huge pool, for as far as my eyes can see, men lie stiff and motionless. They lay side by side, unmoving, not breathing, eyes open, hundreds of them, perhaps thousands. A bitter harvest, I thought, and somehow I knew that each of these men were responsible for the deaths of others. I am laid on the bottom next to a man who has the face and look of a warrior, though I doubt he'll ever fight again. There's not much left of his arms and legs. His thoughts come to me. He says, "A new one." It was so long since the last new one came. I had begun to wonder if they finally had enough. But I suppose they never will have enough. "Where are we, then?" I asked. "We're in a place without a name. Get used to being here," he said. "There is something in the water that keeps us alive. I don't know if we will ever perish. The women, I believe they are the Lamia. They are the tools of Temis in his eternal quest for divine justice. But I have done no wrong. I do not belong here. They come to feed on us from time to time. Speak to me of the world and of my kingdom. None of these others mention it anymore. Far and wide I am famed for my ferocity on the battlefield. I am Ulysses. Perhaps you have heard of me." I had, and I knew I'd be here for a very long time.
This has been a presentation of ShadowcastAudio.com and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Copy it, share it, pimp it all you want. Just don't try to sell it or change it. We keep this going through you, the listener. For the duration of the Masters of Horror podcast, all who make donations to ShadowcastAudio.com will receive an ebook copy of the Masters of Horror. Just specify which format you would like. In addition, you'll also be entered to win a print version signed by myself, which will be given away at the end of the last episode. The music for the podcast is an original piece done specifically for the Masters of Horror by Christopher Carlson. Find more great selections at ChristopherCarlson.com. Thanks for listening.